The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
Well, now it's time to join Andrea Gilligan, who's going to tell us what's in store for us on Lunchtime Live. Andrea.
The PUP payment, Pat, the pandemic unemployment payment, and the changes, or if you like, as some people call it, the cuts to that subsidy. We're going to be discussing that on Lunchtime Live today, but we want to hear from people who've had their rates revised downwards. What's the impact? What's the effect? So that's coming up on the show at 12. And meditation. Do you meditate, Pat?
No.
No, I don't. I'm not a fan.
Years ago, I tried to do this transcendental meditation at the
time.
And there was a whole pile of people around me. I was teaching in Bolton Street at the time, and people trying brown rice and all this sort of stuff. Oh, my God. What a tedious time it was. I tried it for a short while. And then I did a program years ago with RTE where we went over to see people who claimed to do flying, transcendental flying. And it turned out they hopped around. You know, they were supposed to hover, but they kind of leapt around. Difficult to do now, sitting in the yoga position.
I can only imagine.
To hop around and kind of elevate for a moment. But that's what they were doing. They claimed to hover, but hover it was not.
Well, there's been a huge rise in the number of people, would you believe, who've taken up meditation during the pandemic over the last 6 months. A little bit like yourself, I haven't really bought into it. But look, I could be convinced on the show today, so we'll be discussing that at around 20 past 12.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much, Andrea. Now, Jess Kelly is joining us to answer your tech questions. Get those questions to us now on 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. And Jess, first of all, your series ongoing Embedded Tech in Town. It's with thanks to Salesforce. What have you got in that this week?
We're talking about digital transformation, which does sound like a bit of a buzzword or a buzz term that might make you roll your eyes. But that's everything from the ability to send a text rather than having to send a fax. And we're looking at what that means. And I'm also chatting to Lifestyle Sports about how they, as you know, a shoe and sports retailer, embrace digital transformation and the impact that it's had on their business.
Interesting that people, you know, the fax or even scanning and so on. I see a lot of people today just take a photograph on their phone of any document and WhatsApp it.
But this is my favourite thing. So every week when I talk to you, Pat, every single week, and the people that I meet, the thing that they talk to most about is the pieces that I do with you. And they always say, God, I'm just not that techie to get the most out of it. And I always say to people, you know, how do you get money from your bank? Do you go down to the bank with 7 forms of ID or do you go to an ATM? And how do you pay for your public transport? Do you take out your pennies or do you use your Leap card? We've all embraced little bits and pieces of technology in so many different ways without understanding the sophistication of the tech behind it. But that's the whole point. We don't necessarily need to know how it works. We just care how easy it's made our lives. So that's the focus of this week's episode. And it's a nice chat because we have Nick Healy from Convergent who talks through, it kind of gives us a definition of digital transformation and how sometimes it can be made out like, you know, it's the automation of processes so robots can take our jobs, whereas that's not the case at all. Okay. And then, as I said, we've got Lifestyle as well.
Now, the Sony WH-1000XM4 wireless noise-cancelling headphones at €389, are they little buds or are they full headphones?
They're full headphones. They are big on-ear headphones and they look quite identical to their predecessors, which were the XM3s. And as you mentioned there, they're €389, but they are worth every single cent. These are on your headphones. They pair to your phone via Bluetooth. If you have either an iPhone or an Android phone, you can download the app, the smart control app, which will give you a whole host of control over your devices. What I love about these, and I don't know about you, Pat, but I have quite a lot of Bluetooth devices. A lot of different things connect to my phone at any one time. I also have a few different pairs of Bluetooth headphones. So when I turn on these new ones, the XM4s, all I have to do is tap my phone off the left cup and it'll pair via NFC. It takes a millisecond to do and it is just that bit better in terms of a user experience. It has things like adaptive control and ambient sound control and 360 reality audio. All of those things basically give you control. So if, for example, you want to have adaptive control on, What that will do is it'll adapt the noise cancellation to whatever your surroundings are. There's also sensors in the headphones that are really clever, and it can identify if somebody is talking to you, so it'll lower the music. You can either dip the music or you can put your hand up against one of the cups and it'll stop the music entirely. The ambient sound control is super important for people like me who travel on foot and public transport through cities and towns, because I love the noise cancelling if I'm on an airplane, if that ever happens again, or if I'm in the office and I'm trying to focus on something. But when you're out and about, noise cancelling isn't really that safe. So what I do is I activate the ambient sound control mode. And that will allow me to hear if a car is coming up behind me, or if there's a Lewis on the tracks or something like that. It'll just give you a sense of your awareness. And I do think that they are incredibly comfortable. I'm someone who wears headphones all hours of the day. And these, although they are big and they're not exactly feather light, like there's a bit of weight to them. Mm-hmm. When you have them on, they are so comfortable. And there's also nice cushioning on the ear pads as well. That just means that your face doesn't have those horrible marks that you can sometimes get if you wear headphones for 8 hours a day.
Okay, now a couple of questions. Battery life, how much time do you get out of them before you need to recharge?
Do you know what? I haven't charged them out of necessity. I've more kind of topped them up charge as I go. So you're probably getting around 4 or 5 hours of continuous play, which is fantastic. The thing to remember is because they're Bluetooth connected, it can impact their performance.
I have to ask you about a personal thing. I'm walking along with the dog and Kathy and myself, maybe walking along, and I'm listening to the radio, mm-hmm. and I'm being very antisocial. Could the two of us wear sets of these headphones and listen to the same signal?
That would be the dream, and we're not there yet. What this can do is it can allow you to pair to two different phones. If you were both wearing the one pair of headphones, is that the question? So you and Kathy,
two sets of headphones, could my phone tune to News Talk, Bluetooth to hers and to mine, so that we'd both on our headphones hear the program.
That's a nice little experiment for me now when I get out of here. I would imagine so, because you can pair multiple Bluetooth devices at the one time. But I just wonder, would the audio output go to just one of them? Do you know what? I'm going to do a little experiment as soon as I get back to my desk and I'll report back.
Okay, very good. Now, some of the questions coming in. So many flooding into us now. Can you please ask Jess, what are the best antivirus packages, both free and to pay for home computer users?
Things like AVG are fantastic. They are completely free. You download it. There is one available for the phones, and then there's one available for computers, and that is completely free. I actually have never paid for it. I know that Norton, I think, do a paid version. It depends on what you want it for. I think if it's for personal use, AVG is totally fine. If, however, you want it for business purposes, you may want to invest in a proper cybersecurity setup.
I'm working from home since March, but I have some Wi-Fi issues during the day, and the room I use has a bit of a Wi-Fi blind spot. Could you please recommend a good Wi-Fi extender or booster which will improve the Wi-Fi performance in the house? I'm with Virgin, and generally Wi-Fi in other parts of the house pretty good. That's from Stephen.
Okay, so if you have it good in certain parts of the house, then you're very lucky. And what I would recommend you do is invest in a Wi-Fi mesh system. I've spoken about these quite a bit. It'll just ensure that there's blanket coverage no matter what part of the house you're in, no matter what part of a room in the house that you're in. They can range from between 80 to 200 euro. There is the Google Nest Wi-Fi mesh, which is 199 euros. So that's on the upper end of the price schedule, but it is fantastic. So I would recommend that. If you don't want to go down that route, if you want to keep it a little bit cheaper, maybe look at something like the TP-Link Wi-Fi boosters.
I'm interested in buying wireless earphone pods to wear outdoors, and on your advice, I want for the safest ones to buy and not harm my hearing, as I wear them almost every day for walking and outdoors. That's from Eileen.
The safety thing is super interesting. You may remember for this show, I went out to an audiologist last year or the year before and got a hearing test and spoke about the damage being done as a result of in-ear headphones. And although I wear headphones, so many hours a day, my hearing is still pretty much perfect. So what they suggest is that if you are under the age of 18, so if you're a younger person, not to wear in-ear headphones, because it can damage the ear and you can jam it in and it can do damage. if you want something that isn't going to jam into your ear canal in any way, shape or form, you could look at the Samsung Galaxy Buds Live. These are the little ones that look like a cashew nut that we spoke about a few weeks ago. They kind of sit on, they're tiny in-ears, but they don't jam in. There's no bud that kind of jams into your ear canal. So I would say that they are probably the safest. The key thing that the audiologist said to me, though, is that it's more about the volume at which you're listening to things rather than, you know, what type of headphones you're using.
Can Jess recommend the best rugged smartphone, please?
The best rugged smartphone. I think any smartphone can be rugged if you put it into the right cover. So something like the OtterBox covers that we always bang on about are pretty good. They're quite costly, but they can absolutely save you. You can get ones that are aimed at perhaps older people who might be more prone to dropping things, or people who work on construction sites. There's also specific ones for younger people using devices too. So I would get whatever phone you want and then just invest in a proper cover.
Yeah, and the OtterBoxes may have different specs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't want to bring one of these big construction site type OtterBoxes to, you know, to social occasions, because they make the phone too big.
Yeah, they make them huge, yeah.
It's horses for courses, yeah.
Yeah.
My son, who's 10, is looking for earbuds for Christmas. He only has the use of a tablet and Nintendo. What would you recommend?
So if you get earbuds, if you want to get Bluetooth ones, that would definitely work with the tablet. Not sure about the Nintendo. I would look at something like the Google Pixel Buds or the Samsung Galaxy Buds. I would go for the slightly bigger ones rather than the Galaxy Buds Live, just because it's for a child. Alternatively, what you can do, and this is something that I was reading up quite a bit about recently, you can buy a Bluetooth receiver. And that means that if you get headphones that will plug into the tablet and to the Nintendo, if you want, if you have a jack, and then you can also buy the Bluetooth receiver that will then pair the headphones with the jack to any device that has Bluetooth. They can get them for quite cheap now, around €40 on Amazon, and it'll probably enable more functionality from headphones. So that's good, sort of a tip for anyone with headphones that have a jack. If your phone that you're now using doesn't have a headphone jack, buy a Bluetooth receiver and it'll change the game.
Okay. Please recommend a good tablet for kids aged 8 and 9. Basic browsing, YouTube, some games. That's from Donal.
The Huawei MediaPad T5 is fantastic. It's a 10-inch tablet. I think you can get it in 8-inch as well, but the 10-inch tablet is good. It's very affordable. I think it's around 159. I saw it at over the weekend. It runs Android, so you can put your different apps onto it. And I like that kind of size tablet for smaller hands because it's easier for them to navigate. But again, just get a cover or a screen protector at the very least.
A related question. My sons are 8, keep asking me for a tablet. We've held off, but they said they're feeling left out in school. They said everyone has one, as kids do. I feel really anxious and stressed about all of this.
I'm sorry to hear that you feel that way, and you're not alone. I was listening to Off the Walls Dadcast podcast the other night, and they were talking about this very issue. It's very difficult when your kids say that everyone else has something and you don't have something, but you're the parent that needs to, you know, deal with them on a daily basis. So do whatever you think is right. The things to remember are, firstly, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Once you give them a tablet, then they have a tablet. If you give one to them, you need to firstly establish ground rules on when they can have access to it and so on. Also, make sure that you associate it with an account that you control. So I always recommend getting an Android tablet associated with a Gmail account that you can control. That way then you can get access to any photographs or whatever, the apps that are on the device. Also then, you know, if you wanted to go down this route, I know some internet providers are now giving parents a parental hub on their modem. So you can knock off access to certain things. If you don't want them watching YouTube and so on to the night, you can turn it off from the modem.
A related question from Sinead. I've finally given in and will be getting my 13-year-old a phone. I've explained to him about the dangers, etc., and that we will be censoring what he can see. Can Jess please advise what's the best way to do this? I've heard of Our Pact, but we'll go with what Jess suggests.
So it depends on the level of information that you want to be able to see. There are certain applications that you can install on the phone and then have a twin app on your phone. It'll give you access to the files. I wouldn't be a fan of that method, to be completely honest with you. What I think you should do is associate the phone with a Gmail account that you can see. So you can see the applications on it. You can see photographs that come in and out of it. And then do what a number of the sort of child charities call the turn up days. So on a Friday evening, for example, the child turns up the phone and you can have a look through and you can have a conversation about what's on it. But try and instill trust and try and instill that it's not going to be a big fear factor. Try and build up those conversations so it happens as naturally as possible. And then, as I said, either look at something like your own modem, see if there is the parental hub, or get something like the iKids modem, which will give you the ability to knock different things off if you so wish.
We live in the middle of tall trees in Cavan, no line of sight, so very little, maybe only 1 megabit of signal in the house. Have tried mobile boosters. Any other suggestions from Mary?
It's a tricky one. So if you're not getting strong signal coming into the house in any way, shape or form, then you need to get onto the provider and see, or different providers in the area, and see where you stand in terms of getting fibre to the home. See if there's any commercial players in the area that will do it for you, or see if AIR will do it for you. If you want to email your details to patkenny@newstalk.com, I will take a look and see if there's something that we can do to help.
And lastly, this is breaking news, I suppose. Did anyone hear about the Smith's website crashing this morning?
Yes.
During Xbox Series X orders?
I know.
That's from Paul and Kildare.
And I forgot and didn't get one. But yeah, so in the last few weeks, both Xbox and Sony PlayStation have unveiled their new consoles. We are getting multiple new consoles, which is very, very exciting. They should be out in the next, between now and November. I think November 19th is the date for the PlayStation 5. Pre-orders were made available. I think they've sold out in Smith's, GameStop and pretty much everywhere else, which is tragic news. But fingers crossed, more will become available in the coming weeks.
All right, Jess, thank you very much for joining us. That's our tech correspondent, Jess Kelly.